It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It is 6:14. I'm Tommy Tucker. I'd love to hear from you on that Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and text line. What are you doing? Are you taking any precautions? Did you do anything around the house? Pick anything up? And what are you going to do today? Just hang out at home and wait for the storm to pass? Brick Laser joins us now, WWL Louisiana meteorologist, to give us the latest. Good morning, Brick. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm doing well. A little tired, but happy to be here, of course.
Yeah, that's the world we live in, huh? But then look,
how are you doing?
Look ahead to the future, to the weekend, when all of this will be behind us and LSU will be winning, the Saints will be winning, Tulane will be winning, all that stuff will be over with, hopefully.
Oh, I hope so. In Dallas, that's going to be a matchup and a half.
Yeah, tell me about the latest with Francine.
Yeah, so we've been tracking it overnight tonight, and really not too many huge changes this morning other than our timing, which is a little bit later now today. So you can anticipate those impacts really starting to ramp up as we head into the afternoon and tonight. We'll see the first winds starting to come on shore a little bit closer to the 3 p.m. time frame in New Orleans proper, somewhere between 2 and 6. So we're forecasting for about a 5 to 7 o'clock landfall, still in the same place, St. Mary to Terrebonne, and then we'll start to see those impacts, of course, move inland as the night goes on. Right now, the intensity is 90 miles an hour, and we've seen a pretty favorable condition for strengthening in the last couple hours, but we'll start to encounter some wind shear along the coastline, which will help to minimize this becoming more than a category two.
So we've seen it intensifying, but the wind shear is going to knock it down again? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Okay. Basically, at the coastline, we've got some drier air, and that's going to help to keep this from intensifying like a Zeta did or an Ida did at that very last push to the coast. So thinking category two, low end, even if it were just a category one, wouldn't change the impacts too much.
So when it comes to the rainfall in these corridors of rain that you guys are talking about, explain that, if you will, please.
Yeah, so where the center comes inland and onshore, we're going to have a pretty concentrated amount of rainfall compared to the rest of the outer bands. So where that center comes inland, and we're thinking it'll be right around St. Mary to Terrebonne, you're going to have the possibility for half a foot to a foot of rain. And that's not a very big area, but where it goes straight inland and then continues north, all of the towns along that particular path are going to see more rain than the rest of the viewing area. So otherwise, pretty much just forecasting for half the amount on the eastern side. And on the western side, we've got a dry, windier setup where you're not going to see nearly as much rainfall or flood potential.
So when it comes to these corridors of rain, and I'm not about scaring people, just about warning them about what could happen and giving them the information they need. Mm-hmm. It reminded me when I saw the graphics of this, almost like, and I got to be careful how I say this, but spaghetti plots, almost, in terms of the if you were to draw like a diagram of what the rain corridor would look like, it would be like that, right?
Yeah, we have different colors for different amounts. So I think the graphics all start to run together a little bit there. But
I'm saying in terms of shape, Brooke, I guess is what I'm saying. That's what it would look like almost with the rain corridor, where it would be, if people could imagine on a radar, it would be like a narrow line almost, like the plot.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. That's a perfect way to describe it. Exactly. So it would follow that same path as, say, spaghetti plot up to the north through Baton Rouge and then into Jackson. But as this comes inland, we're going to see it weaken quickly as well. So that's also good news. It's really going to pack that initial punch when it makes an initial landfall, and then you'll start to see it really fall apart all the more. And it's not that organized as it is over the favorable environment to strengthen, right? We've got that lopsided nature, all the rain on the eastern side. So this is, again, not going to be anything like a Zeta or an Ida.
Again, not to alarm anybody, but when I saw Alexa yesterday afternoon with the, and she said that the models tended to go with the worst possible scenario when it comes to these corridors of rain.
Right.
But as it stands now, because, you know, if you're talking about 12 inches of rain in 3 hours in New Orleans, that's not a good thing.
Definitely not.
So what, as it stands now, I guess I'm more concerned about rainfall than I am wind, and I'm just wondering about these corridors of rain. Is there any way for you to predict or for you all to know where these are going to be?
It's definitely going to happen right where the core comes inland, and we've had pretty consistent track guidance that that'll be in St. Mary and Terrebonne. So I think you're going to see the heaviest rainfall amounts up through Houma and then into potentially Hammond, Baton Rouge, Jackson. If the track continues to shift a bit further east with this next update, which is really probably the last one that we're going to look to for a dynamic change, but not anticipating that, then we could see a little more setup over the New Orleans metro. But at this point, I think pretty much all of our impacts are locked in place, and we'll see somewhere between about 3 and 6 inches. Of course, you could have localized spots with heavier amounts, and we know our problem areas here, especially when some of our infrastructure fails. But sounds like we've got at least 90 out of 99 pumps working, so hoping for the best there.
So 3 to 6, the rainfall, 3 to 6 inches over a period of how long?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for clarifying it. Should be over about 6 hours. So hopefully no more than an inch an hour, but you could see 2 to 4 inches in some spots pick up quickly, just depending on how those bands set up. We also really have not had a tornado threat overnight, so that's been great. Haven't seen that as far west. The threat is a little bit further east towards Florida, believe it or not. So just goes to show you the nature of those far-reaching tornadoes.
Can you grab a quick nap while I take a break, and then I'll pick it up here when we come back? Can you do that?
I should not complain. I
take
think
a power
is
nap.
The one who deserves
no,
it.
No. Take a power nap for 5 minutes. You know what Einstein used to do? He would hold a spoon in his hand over a plate, and he would just fall asleep until the spoon fell out of his hand and hit the plate, and he'd wake up refreshed.
Okay, right? Great.
So if it worked for Einstein, maybe it'll work for you. When it comes to hair, TV, probably not. You don't want the Einstein hair. 620, more with Brooke Laser when we come back. Time now for traffic on WW.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You all. All right, 6:24, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Our coverage of Francine continues. We're talking to Brooke Laser, WWL-TV meteorologist. So, Brooke, who do you think won the debate last night? Kidding, just wanted to make sure you were awake. Let's talk about the rainfall that we've gotten so far and how that affects things like, I don't know, rivers on the North Shore and those kind of things. Brooke, you have us muted? Did you wander off? Did you fall asleep? You know, I was kidding about the nap thing. So, Brooke Laser. you got to watch what you say because sometimes, you know, it can happen. So, let's talk about the projected effects that could happen as a result of a storm, parish by parish impacts. Y'all, let me know if you can wake up, Brooke. Metro area, Orleans, Upper Jefferson, Upper St. Bernard, Upper Plaquemines time frame. They're saying that the winds should begin to be felt here in the New Orleans area between 2 and 6 o'clock and landfall around 5 to 7. So it's been delayed a bit. But while it has shown some signs of intensification, apparently there's some type of wind shear that's going to develop to knock that down a little bit. Brooke is back with us.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, that's all right. Well, you didn't hold the spoon. The spoon must have missed the plate.
It did. I apologize.
That's all right.
No power
worries.
Nap. No worries. Just a little hit.
No worries. No, I know. I know you got work to do. Let's talk about the rainfall that we've gotten and saturation in the ground, which is a concern, I guess, for rivers on the North Shore, primarily where?
Yeah, we were just talking about that, Peyton and I. We've had a lot of rain over the last week, so already saturated ground. The other concern with this is pine trees, especially on the North Shore. You've got a lot of those, and whenever the ground's saturated, it's easier for them just to topple over, which is not what you want. So the wind threat, gratefully, is not as much of a concern as we were talking about the rainfall amounts and then potential flooding. You're definitely going to have a slower experience with the rivers receding tomorrow because of the wind and the fact that it's going to help those rivers to stay a little bit more full. So we're advising people to, if possible, move their cars to higher ground on the North Shore. And of course, we've seen a lot of that on the neutral ground here on the South Shore as well.
I know that they had a big problem after, and I get them confused. I think it may have been Ida with uprooted trees in Jefferson Parish and disrupting water lines and power lines and so forth because of trees toppling over that really aren't on enough ground to support them. And I'm just wondering, I guess it's a function of the ground being saturated as well as if the ground saturated, it would take less wind to topple them over? Or is that
beyond?
That
is true.
Okay.
And during Ida, we had significantly more wind. So not as worried about that in a widespread capacity for this particular storm. And most of the metro area should only see tropical storm force winds. But it is always something to think about if you do have a tree around your home and maybe you could relocate while the storm comes through.
So when we're talking about the coastal effects, storm surge, anything change with that for the people that are outside of the flood protection area?
We're not seeing too many differences today in comparison on yesterday. We've upped a few of the storm surge amounts in the metro. So we took Lake Pontchartrain up to 4 to 6 feet, both in and outside the levee protection system. And then down towards the coastline, of course, that's where we're going to have the biggest concerns for surge, but still 5 to 10 feet. Outside the levee protection system as well, down towards the mouth of the Mississippi River, more like 4 to 7.
So you're a local gal, right? You grew up here?
Yes, I did.
So what is your, when it comes to your family, when it comes to friends, et cetera, what is your main concern here as we sit here and wait for this thing to finally get through here and just, and I say finally, and I should knock on wood because it's not going to be an Ida. It's not going to sit
right
over us. It's just that we've been watching this for a while, it seems like. What's your concern as a meteorologist, as a local gal, et cetera?
I'm not as concerned about this storm, and I will be the first to say I told everyone to leave for Ida. Mm-hmm. So really just occupying your time in a productive way, I guess. But I've actually discouraged a lot of my friends from leaving because most of their alternatives are in the cone, yeah, or, you know, a place that's not going to have a super different experience than we are. So I'm really not too concerned about this one. I try to always stay as calm as possible, Tommy.
Yeah.
Keep everybody else calm, too, because this is just one we're going to have to sit and wait
out. And I think that's what we all have to do. I'm just wondering, is it about power outages that you're concerned about?
Yes. Or if,
yeah.
I think that's definitely the biggest concern, just people being uncomfortable more than anything. And hopefully we'll be able to restore that quickly. At least it won't be extremely hot on the backside since we are a little bit later into the season. Mm-hmm. But it's really just a matter of time passing and those restorations as soon as possible.
Well, one thing about Zeta was that at least it was cool. You could open the windows. Right? It was nice.
Gosh, there was a cold front. It was Halloween weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Added to the vibe.
Can we just do that? Can we just fast forward to Halloween? Thank you,
Brooke.
That
was the perfect storm.
Appreciate your time. You bet. The perfect storm. I like it. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to talk to Mike Steele, Communication Director for the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. That was Brooke Laser. You heard her say. Main concern is power outages, and just get ready for that. It's going to happen. I don't know if anybody said this, but you really should set the refrigerator to the lowest point, highest point that you can, to make it as cold as possible so it stays cold for as long as it can. That's what I did. 6:30, more we come back. Time now, WWL First News. 6:44, 16 till 7. It is September the 11th, the anniversary of a couple of different attacks. Of course, they have Benghazi, and then the big one was the terrorist attack in New York on September the 11th of 2000. Yes, 2000, right? Yeah, I got the year confused. Mike Steele joins us now, Communications Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, or as it's otherwise known, GOSEP. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, good morning. It was 2001.
2001. Thank you. I got so much going on, and I'm sleep deprived and all that stuff. But thank you for clarifying that.
It was three days after my wedding, so that's always
so that's,
an easy
there you
one
go. You remember? I get it confused
right.
with the presidential election, and the election was in. It was Bush's. Anyway, it was 2001. Thank you for that, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, we everybody's tired as it stands now. I'm talking about Francine, but, you don't have a choice. There's nothing else we can do but watch this thing. It can cause some problems for people. It is going to cause some problems for people. Let's talk about, I guess, from the Governor's Office of Homeland Security, Security and Emergency Preparedness standpoint, what is your major concern right now?
So obviously the surge, I think there's a storm surge warning, for the entire Louisiana coast, or that was, I think, the last update I saw. So that's obviously a concern, especially in areas, where you're going to see it come in around Terrebonne and Morgan City and all those types of areas. Power outages are a big concern, as this thing travels inland, and starts impacting areas east of Baton Rouge and the North Shore in those areas. You're talking about an area with a lot of trees. There could potentially be, trees that were still damaged from the drought last year and those type things. I know in our, we're east of Baton Rouge at our house, and it seems like with a lot of thunderstorms lately, there's been more, power outages kind of overall. And I don't know if that's because of that tree issue or some other factors or whatever, but I know that's a concern for me with elderly parents that kind of live in the area too, that, those type factors could linger. And then flash flooding. I know I've seen updates with Colin Arnold, mm-hmm. where he talked about the pumps being in, pretty optimistic that everything is going to be operating properly. But if you get enough rain over a short period of time, it's hard for any system to kind of keep up. And then on top of all that, you have areas around Lake Maurepas, Lake Pontchartrain, the rivers, the potential impacts with flooding associated with those factors. So there's a lot going on. You kind of get to a point by the time you're in, preparation mode for a few days where it feels like everything's kind of in place. We just need to see where those impacts are going to be so that we can kind of support, our local officials as best as possible.
Is this going to be primarily a rain event? Is that where your main concern is, Mike, or is it about power outages because of the rain?
I mean, I wish I knew that answer. We have to factor kind of all of those things in. So, if you're not prepared for those things, that's when you could potentially have problems. If you see maybe a handful of homes have damage because of a tree falling, overall in the big picture, that may be good news. But if you're one of the families being impacted by that, it's terrible. So, it's all perspective sometimes, when you're dealing with these things. But I guess we all, like, I have optimism that maybe this thing will move through fast and there won't be that much, you know, as far as impact, but you can't really count on that. Like, we have to be prepared. You know, I know the Guard has a lot of assets. General Freeloo yesterday talked about all the assets they've staged, and that's just one of the agencies kind of involved with, you know, high water vehicles and search, potential search and rescue type operations and those type things. So, you know, there's, like I said, there's a lot of movement kind of behind the scenes, and they try to pre-position these things right outside the areas where they expect the biggest impact, because you want them to be able to mobilize and kind of roll into the impacted areas as quickly as possible.
So, you know, I made the analogy to football season earlier with hurricane season, in that we hadn't had anything and we were, you know, 8-0, but which doesn't really mean anything because you can go on and lose 8 games and you don't get in the playoffs. But it's almost the same here with this storm, where you think you know, but you really don't until you line up. And then once you do line up against a storm, after it's over, then you know whether you won or lost or how bad you got hurt, et cetera, right?
Yeah, that's the way it is sometimes. But, you know, the good news is it seems like the public is really taking the storm seriously. Obviously, we don't want anyone to overreact or panic or, you know, any of those type things. But you want everybody to be prepared. The more the public is prepared, the better the overall emergency management process works. We talk about that all the time when we're invited, you know, to public events and those type things. Because if you are able to sustain yourself maybe for a few days because of a power outage or because, you know, flash flooding's complicated things, usually within 2 or 3 days, assets are able to be mobilized and be brought in for support. But it can take some time sometimes. Hopefully this won't be anything that causes several days of problems, but, you know, you can't always count on that. Like, we have to be ready for those type factors. And, you know, when you look at the wind field being, I think it was 115 miles wide, you're talking about a big area as it comes into the coast that we're going to have to keep an eye on and really, you know, work with our local partners and make sure they have everything they need.
Speaking of which, Mike, thank you for your time. We're going to take a break, come back, talk to Jason Bergeron, president of Terrebonne Parish, see how they're faring down there. 650, that was Mike Steele, communications director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, GOSEP. 651 now, traffic, WWL. 650. 644, 16 till 7. It is September the 11th, the anniversary of a couple of different attacks. Of course, they have Benghazi, and then the big one was the terrorist attack in New York on September the 11th of 2000. Yes, 2000, right? Yeah, I got the year confused. Mike Steele joins us now, communications director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, or as it's otherwise known, GOSEP. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, good morning. It was 2001.
2001. Thank you. I got so much going on, and I'm sleep deprived and all that stuff. But thank you for clarifying that.
It was three days after my wedding, so that's always.
So that's
an easy
there
one
you go. You remember. I get it confused,
right,
with the presidential election, and the election was in. It was Bush's. Anyway, it was 2001. Thank you for that, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, we everybody's tired as it stands now. I'm talking about Francine, but, you know, you don't have a choice. There's nothing else we can do but watch this thing. It can cause some problems for people. It is going to cause some problems for people. Let's talk about, I guess, from the Governor's Office of Homeland Security, Security and Emergency Preparedness standpoint, what is your major concern right now?
So, obviously, the surge, I think there's a storm surge warning, you know, for the entire Louisiana coast, or that was, I think, the last update I saw. So that's obviously a concern, especially in areas, you know, where you're going to see it come in around Terrebonne and Morgan City and all those types of areas. Power outages are a big concern, you know, as this thing travels inland, you know, and starts impacting areas east of Baton Rouge and the North Shore in those areas. You're talking about an area with a lot of trees. There could potentially be, you know, trees that were still damaged from the drought last year and those type things. I know in our, like, we're east of Baton Rouge at our house, and it seems like with a lot of thunderstorms lately, there's been more, you know, power outages kind of overall, and I don't know if that's because of that that tree issue or you know, some other factors or whatever. But I know that's a concern for me with elderly parents that kind of live in the area too, that, you know, those type factors could linger. And then flash flooding. I know I've seen updates with Colin where he talked, or Colin Arnold, mm-hmm. where he talked about the pumps being in, you know, pretty optimistic that everything is going to be operating properly. But if you get enough rain over a short period of time, you know, it's hard for any system to kind of keep up. And then on top of all that, you have areas around Lake Maurepaugh, Lake Pontchartrain, the rivers, you know, the potential impacts with flooding associated with those factors. So there's a lot going on. You know, you kind of get to a point by the time you're in, you know, preparation mode for a few days where it feels like everything's kind of in place. We just need to see where those impacts are going to be so that we can kind of support, you know, our local officials as best as possible.
Is this going to be primarily a rain event? Is that where your main concern is, Mike, or is it about power outages because of the rain?
I mean, I wish I knew that answer. You know, we have to factor kind of all of those things in. So, you know, if you're not prepared for those things, that's when you could potentially have problems. You know, if you see, you know, maybe a handful of homes have damage because of a tree falling, you know, overall in the big picture, that may be good news. But if you're one of the families being impacted by that, you know, it's terrible. So, you know, it's all perspective sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with these things. But I guess we all, like, I have optimism that maybe this thing will move through fast and there won't be that much, you know, as far as impact. But you can't really count on that. Like, we have to be prepared. You know, I know the Guard has a lot of assets. General Freeloo yesterday talked about all the assets they've staged, and that's just one of the agencies kind of involved with, you know, high water vehicles and search, potential search and rescue type operations and those type things. So, you know, there's, like I said, there's a lot of movement kind of behind the scenes, and they try to pre-position these things right outside the areas where they expect the biggest impact, because you want them to be able to mobilize and kind of roll into the impacted areas as quickly as possible.
So, you know, I made the analogy to football season earlier with hurricane season, in that we hadn't had anything and we were, you know, 8-0, but which doesn't really mean anything because you can go on and lose 8 games and you don't get in the playoffs. But it's almost the same here with this storm, where you think you know, but you really don't until you line up. And then once you do line up against a storm, after it's over, then you know whether you won or lost or how bad you got hurt, et cetera, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it is sometimes. But, you know, the good news is it seems like the public is really taking the storm seriously. Obviously, we don't want anyone to overreact or panic or, you know, any of those type things. But you want everybody to be prepared. The more the public is prepared, the better the overall emergency management process works. We talk about that all the time when we're invited, you know, to public events and those type things. Because if you are able to sustain yourself maybe for a few days because of a power outage or because, you know, flash flooding's complicated things, usually within 2 or 3 days, assets are able to be mobilized and be brought in for support. But it can take some time sometimes. Hopefully this won't be anything that causes several days of problems, but, you know, you can't always count on that. Like, we have to be ready for those type factors. And, you know, when you look at the wind field being, I think it was 115 miles wide, you're talking about a big area as it comes into the coast that we're going to have to keep an eye on and really, you know, work with our local partners and make sure they have everything they need.
Speaking of which, Mike, thank you for your time. We're going to take a break, come back, talk to Jason Bergeron, president of Terrebonne Parish, see how they're faring down there. 650, that was Mike Steele, communications director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, GOSEP. 651 now, traffic, WWL. 6:55, 5 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. The latest advisory out on Francine. Not much of a change. Sped up a little bit, going 12 miles an hour. And maybe Peyton Malone, WWL Louisiana forecaster, says maybe hugging the eastern side a little bit more, which could mean landfall in Terrebonne Parish. We're talking now to the president of Terrebonne Parish, Jason Bergeron. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Morning. I'm good.
Tell me what your concern is or what's the situation in Terrebonne Parish this morning.
It's a calm before storm, and my concern is, you know, there's always storm surge. You know, this storm is the worst-case scenario for us as far as direction. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it's not as strong as it could be, but we just want to make sure that the levees we have that we've been working on every day up until right, you know, yesterday, that the levees hold and that our residents' lives are protected.
What kind of storm surge are you expecting, and how important is it that this thing not move any further east or farther east?
So for us, actually, you know, it being in that area we are east of the storm is the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. So we'd almost rather take a direct hit when it comes to the storm surge. You know, when you look at the comparisons of this storm to Ida, Ida, you know, we knew it wasn't going to be a water event. We knew it was going to be a wind event, mm-hmm. whereas this event's more water. So, you know, we have some levees at 10 foot, some at 12, some at 15. So, you know, we want if it's going to hit somewhere, we want it to hit where those levees are the highest, and the west side of our parish is where they're not. So for us, it's just trying to make sure, you know, we have subsidence, we have different things that go on with the levee system, and we're always adding and tightening and trying to make it stronger. So, you know, we just want to make sure. It's definitely going to be a test of that part of the system.
Yeah, Jason Bergeron, president of Terrebonne Parish, I'm not hearing any fear, any worry, or anything like that in your voice, but I'm hearing a little bit of concern. Is what levees in what particular areas are you concerned about?
Well, we ended up issuing a voluntary evacuation for Barry DeLarge area. Mm-hmm. It's an area that kind of sticks out from the levee system, but it's surrounded by a levee. So that area in the west side is of the 10-foot height. If you go to the east side in that same area, it's 12-foot. So, you know, and I don't have concern. I'm very confident in the work that we've done to build the levees that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, things can happen, but I know we're ready, and I know we've done everything we can to prepare for this.
More concerned than you were yesterday or not?
At the same level. The track didn't really move, and at this point, it's in God's hands, and we're praying, and we just make sure, you know, I know our teams are prepared, and we're hunkered down, ready to go.
Anything you want the people of Terrebonne Parish to know? Is anything open, like near home and so forth, or not? Or is everything shut up?
We announced the 8 o'clock curfew just because of the fact that we knew the weather was going to start coming in around that time.
8 a.m.?
I know it's, you know, a little frustrating. Yes, sir. 8 okay. a.m. parish-wide. I know some people are concerned. They need to get to work, and, you know, it's always a conversation about we're not going to stop essential people from getting to work. We just want to make sure we keep the people off the roads that don't need to be there. So my message is, if you don't need to be on the road, stay home. Stay out of harm's way. Whenever you get out, you put our first responders at risk, and we don't want to risk their lives. And, you know, we're probably going to have some power outages. We're going to have some down trees, down poles. You know, with people not being on the road, it allows us to concentrate on the things we need to. And as soon as the winds die down and things clear, we're going to be out and about getting our parish back up and running.
So real quick, curfew going into effect for all of Terrebonne Parish as of 8 a.m., and that means nobody on the streets other than what?
Then first responders, those that need to be.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Good luck. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Jason Bergeron, president of Terrebonne Parish. We're going to take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Monique Blanco-Boulay, president of Lafayette, Louisiana, and get the latest from her. And we'll also talk with Coop, Mike Cooper, president of St. Tammany Parish, as we continue to sit and wait and watch for Francine. And what else are we going to do, right? If you want to text me, 504-260-1870, we'll get a little conversation going. If you had to take one or two things out of your house and you had to evacuate, not that you do, but what would you take? I'd like to know. We'll be back, WWL. 6:55, 5 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. The latest advisory out on Francine. Not much of a change. Sped up a little bit, going 12 miles an hour. And maybe Peyton Malone, WWL Louisiana forecaster, says might be hugging the eastern side a little bit more, which could mean landfall in Terrebonne Parish. We're talking now to the president of Terrebonne Parish, Jason Bergeron. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Morning. I'm good.
Tell me what your concern is or what's the situation in Terrebonne Parish this morning.
It's a calm before storm, and my concern is, you know, there's always storm surge. You know, this storm is the worst-case scenario for us as far as direction. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it's not as strong as it could be, but we just want to make sure that the levees we have that we've been working on every day up until right, you know, yesterday, that the levees hold and that our residents' lives are protected.
What kind of storm surge are you expecting, and how important is it that this thing not move any further east or farther east?
So for us, actually, you know, it being in that area we are east of the storm is the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. So we'd almost rather take a direct hit when it comes to the storm surge. You know, when you look at the comparisons of this storm to Ida, Ida, you know, we knew it wasn't going to be a water event. We knew it was going to be a wind event, mm-hmm. whereas this event's more water. So, you know, we have some levees at 10 foot, some at 12, some at 15. So, you know, we want if it's going to hit somewhere, we want it to hit where those levees are the highest, and the west side of our parish is where they're not. So for us, it's just trying to make sure, you know, we have subsidence. We have different things that go on with the levee system, and we're always adding and heightening and trying to make it stronger. So, you know, we just want to make sure. It's definitely going to be a test of that part of the system.
Yeah, Jason Bergeron, president of Terrebonne Parish, I'm not hearing any fear, any worry, or anything like that in your voice, but I'm hearing a little bit of concern. Is what levees in what particular areas are you concerned about?
Well, we ended up issuing a voluntary evacuation for Barrie de Large area. Mm-hmm. It's an area that kind of sticks out from the levee system, but it's surrounded by a levee. So that area on the west side is of the 10-foot height. If you go to the east side in that same area, it's 12-foot. So, you know, and I don't have concern. I'm very confident in the work that we've done to build the levees that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, things can happen, but I know we're ready, and I know we've done everything we can to prepare for this event.
More concern than you were yesterday or not?
At the same level. The track didn't really move, and at this point, it's in God's hands, and we're praying, and we just make sure, you know, I know our teams are prepared, and we're hunkered down, ready to go.
Anything you want the people of Terrebonne Parish to know? Is anything open, like near home and so forth, or not? Or is everything shut up?
We announced the 8 o'clock curfew just because of the fact that we knew the weather was going to start coming in around that time.
8 a.m.?
I know it's, you know, a little frustrating. Yes, sir. 8 a.m. parish-wide. I know some people are concerned. They need to get to work, and, you know, it's always a conversation about we're not going to stop essential people from getting to work. We just want to make sure we keep the people off the roads that don't need to be there. So my message is, if you don't need to be on the road, stay home. Stay out of harm's way. Whenever you get out, you put our first responders at risk, and we don't want to risk their lives. And, you know, we're probably going to have some power outages. We're going to have some down trees, down poles. You know, with people not being on the road, it allows us to concentrate on the things we need to. And as soon as the winds die down and things clear, we're going to be out and about getting our parish back up and running.
So real quick, curfew going into effect for all of Terrebonne Parish as of 8 a.m., and that means nobody on the streets other than what?
Then first responders, that need to be.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Good luck. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Jason Bergeron, president of Terrebonne Parish. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll talk to Monique Blanco-Boulay, mayor president of Lafayette, Louisiana, and get the latest from her. And we'll also talk with Mike Cooper, president of St. Tammany Parish, as we continue to sit and wait and watch for Francine. And what else are we going to do, right? If you want to text me, 504-260-1870, we'll get a little conversation going. If you had to take one or two things out of your house and you had to evacuate, not that you do, but what would you take? I'd like to know. We'll be back, WWL.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.